Kia ora te lova lava and welcome to our Pacific correspondent Susana Leotawa, who is in the Auckland studio. And Susana, of course, is RNZ Pacific News editor. Where do we begin, Susana, today?
Morena, Catherine. It's such a good question, isn't it? I was just thinking that to myself. Where is Catherine going to take us first? So where shall we start? Since we're talking about vaccine, let's just get that out of the way, because there's so much activity going on. And I was thinking this as I was listening to the radio this morning. Pacific populations continually identified as being under-vaccinated, but of course those numbers on so many levels not really giving us enough detail. So I thought let's get to the point and not get so caught up in the numbers, but talk about community initiatives that are underway right this minute for the Samoan community, for the Kukiairangi, that's the Cook Islands community, Niuean community. They've each got their own community-focused vaccine rollout, mass vaccine rollout, people arriving in their cars, families, like a couple of weeks ago when the Tongan community had that. But it's also happening in Wellington as well. So that's an example of what is underway in order to change the numbers. And just sort of a note, really, that given such a large percentage of our Pacific communities are young people, and it is only 2 weeks since young people have been part of the recognised groups, people 13 and over, 12 and over, to be vaccinated. We are allowed a minute, I think, as communities to respond and get people vaccinated. But across the region, it's really interesting too. Today is the second day of a lockdown in Samoa, which is what they've called it. From 8 in the morning to 6 p.m, people have to stay at home in order for medical teams, doctors and nurses, locals, to go around villages and deliver the AstraZeneca vaccines. Already yesterday in one day, 7,000 doses administered. It's not compulsory to be vaccinated in Samoa, but understandably highly advised. So that's another initiative. In Fiji, 15 to 17-year-olds, they've been the target group this week, with more than 3,000 vaccinated so far. There are 5,000 more students who are registered, and this is so that they can go back to school in order to sit their exams together. PNG, their response is a four-week lockdown. This is just to control the spread of the Delta variant. And very difficult to actually get numbers from PNG. New Caledonia, 16 deaths recorded in one day. This was earlier in the week. A number of people in intensive care. And at the same time as the variant is spreading rapidly, so is the vaccination rollout in each of these countries as well. So that's that a little summary. Hopefully that was helpful.
It is. Now, the UN General Assembly is happening. I want to note, one, that the President of Palau is addressing the General Assembly about the increasing urgency of climate change, that his country's existence is increasingly threatened. There will be strong messages delivered on climate at this assembly. But I want us to return to that another day, Susana, because there's a lot happening on that front the next couple of months. And the other topic being spoken at the General Assembly right now that I'm really interested in is the response to this AUKUS alliance that's been announced and its motivations, please.
Yes, thank you. Notably, a silence, I'm going to call it, last week. We heard the announcement of the pact on Thursday, and then our team, specifically Johnny Blades, one of our senior reporters, did the ring around in the region, and no response. Our initial response came from the Council of Churches, and I just wouldn't mind quoting a wee bit from James Bhagwan, who is the General Secretary. Their summary, very directly, is that this is a strike against the heart of the region. 3 weeks ago, he was saying that the current chair of the Pacific Island Forum, its Prime Minister, Bainimarama, Fiji, reiterated that the Pacific Islands Forum wants a blue Pacific, that's a nuclear-free Pacific. And so he was very clear, Reverend Bhagwan, to say that the announcement of this pact really deals to the heart of the Pacific. Pacific regionalism. Then, of course, we come to the UN, and I guess overnight our time, the leader, the president of the Marshall Islands, he's been very careful with his wording because he hasn't named AUKUS, but he has said he's called on the UN to monitor geopolitical tension in the Pacific. He was speaking via recorded video message to a very socially distanced General Assembly in New York. This is President David Kabua, and he was calling on the UN the world's leaders to look and recognise that our Pacific region is in the middle of a tug of war between the world's greatest powers. He didn't name AUKUS, but he said that the Marshall Islands has always strived to maintain an independent democracy and protect basic human rights of its citizens. As island leaders, we must remain firmly in control of our commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific and stand apart from any who would seek to have us trade out core values for easy inducement. He finished by saying, if we cannot remember the mistakes that led to the last century's open global military conflicts, his fear is that we're doomed to repeat them.
They are strong words, and I presume, like everybody else, including New Zealand, no discussion, no involvement, a last-minute heads-up in the case of New Zealand, that this agreement has been struck. But very interesting to see the leaders just identifying how caught in the middle they feel. Let's just touch briefly on climate change. Of course, there's the big leaders summit coming in Glasgow, I think it is, in November. But again, we can expect to hear passionate statements at the UN this week, yes?
Absolutely. I'm sorry that I can't give you the rundown of who and which order people are speaking. I know that the leader for Nauru, President Lionel Aingimea, he's currently speaking, and he highlighted the assistance of Nauru's partners, including Taiwan, just supporting the country because we're looking at climate change and we're also looking at COVID, right? And these two topics are running in many ways parallel, even though obviously they're very different, they're very vast, and each of these small island nations are grappling with the scale of them, and they've got a lot to say.
We should take just a moment to note the death of New Zealand's first MP of Pacific descent, and of course there's been a lot of coverage since his death, but Taito Philip Field dying this week.
Yes, he did. I don't know the details of his passing, other than his family is reporting that it was a result of an illness, but it came as a surprise yesterday when we got the news. He was 68. It would have been his 69th birthday this Sunday. And there have been tributes flowing from the community, from church leaders, from members of his church, from other people in the community. Also, the Minister for Pacific Peoples, Aupito William Seo, he acknowledged Taito. Community leader Whaamātua Inu Tino Pereira also acknowledged him yesterday, saying that Taito carried the weight of expectations and concerns of Pacific people.
Ngā mihi, thank you, Susanna Leotawa.